because it's my favorite of the founding documents, because I want to, because I'm off the rest of the week, I'm going to read bits and pieces of the Declaration of Independence on this year's program, and you're going to like it.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's your host, Vince Petrano.
8:13 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Another all eyes alert. Quickly before we get to our chosen topic. You guys make fun of me for this, but it was something I picked up on all my years on TV at Channel 4. The laziness of the all eyes on, I guess I call it a cut line, or we in the business we called it the lower third. This is the little thing that you see on the bottom part of your screen there when you're watching the news, and it says, you know, big debate tonight or whatever, kind of gives you the topic of what's being discussed. And I noticed that the networks in particular, and you'll hear it sometimes in scripts as well, when they have a big story, they'll say, all eyes on the debate tonight, or all eyes on this. They use it so much, now you won't be able to look away. You're going to notice it now that we've talked about it. It's a huge pet peeve of mine because, one, it's lazy, and two, it's not true. Because today, here's a perfect example. NBC had all eyes on, what did they have? Oh, the hurricane.
Hurricane, Barrel.
Hurricane Barrel. Later, ABC on Good Morning America had all eyes on something else.
Supreme Court, maybe?
That was it. All eyes on the Supreme Court. If all eyes are on the hurricane, how can all of the eyes also be on the...
You have two eyes, Vince.
Yes, but they would have to be all of them. I can't have one on this and one of them that's not all eyes. Good looking out, Greg, but I'm right on this. It's a pet peeve, whatever, but I had to point that out today because you guys make fun of me for it, but it's a real thing. And now you're not going to be able, you will not go through your daily life without noticing the all eyes on. It's going to pop up. Something I wanted to talk about today, and it was funny. Michelle's in for Eric today. I was just telling Michelle that I was saying to Eric earlier this week, I'm like, you know what story we haven't had, but I bet we're going to start to get is some of these businesses locally who are getting nervous now 2 weeks out from the Republican National Convention. 2 weeks from today, the RNC is on. Like the big old welcome concert is going to be the Sunday before, and then this big event that we have been talking about for years. And years before that, because we were supposed to host the what turned out to be largely virtual Democratic National Convention. Feels like for 6 years or more, we've been talking about the big national convention coming. It's going to be here in 2 weeks. And I said, you're going to start to hear from some of these businesses who are getting worried. And they're worried because not only are they not going to see a ramp up in business, but they're actually getting worried they're going to do worse. And a lot of these folks may be staffed up or at least made preparations to staff up, expecting a big influx because we're supposed to have 50,000 visitors in town for the Republican National Convention. And they're worried because they don't have any bookings. And I have a couple of thoughts on why that may be, but first the meat of it. Milwaukee Journal Sentinel 4 did a story on it, 12 did a story on it. We did some stories here as well. Here's from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Mere weeks away from the Republican National Convention, few bars and restaurants near Fiserv Forum and elsewhere downtown are reporting bookings for private events during the four-day convention. Major letdown. Pabst Theater Group does not have any bookings at four of its venues, including the Riverside and the Pabst Theater. Upscale downtown restaurants such as Amelinda and Loopy and Iris have few to no bookings or reservations for the 4 days. Many restaurants on North King Drive don't have any bookings for private events, and they list a number of them here. So, and in fairness, others do. Others are booked. We had a couple of the delegations reporting in. I think California talked with WTMJ and Washington State talking about where they're booked. They have big to-dos. I think Washington State has some stuff at Harley-Davidson Museum, other spots. So I'm not saying it's nobody. These folks are going somewhere. But some of the folks who are outside that hard security zone and even some just on the edge of the soft security zone are saying, we got nothing. And if we don't have any of that, what we're worried is not only are we not going to have that, but then what if our regulars don't come? A lot of them have told us, like, I'm out.
I'm not coming downtown during the convention. I will avoid just because I don't want to deal with it.
Right. And what are you concerned about having to deal with? Like what?
Traffic, yeah. Crowds, okay. You know, just.
Not even knowing what you can get to and what you can't.
Right.
Because how many of us have poured over the security plan, right?
Parking, you know.
There are even for the soft security zone. So obviously nobody without credentials can get right up close to Fiserv Forum and the Convention Center, the Baird Center, and all of those areas, because those are for credentialed folks only. But there is an area where people are welcome to still come, but there are various entry points into that. And you might have a vehicle search or other things. And hearing from a lot of folks outside of the immediate downtown area, just said, I'll just go ahead and avoid that. I don't want to study the plan. I don't want to know if I need my car searched or not. So, yeah, you're exactly on point. So if you're not getting your regulars and you're not getting spillover from the convention folks, it's going to be a tough week for some of these businesses.
Well, and are some of these businesses within the security zone, or is it just like really tight around Fiserv?
Some are inside the soft zone, so where people are welcome to go, but you have some extra security.
Some security.
And then some are just outside. I believe Third Ward might be just outside of that soft zone, but even some folks there are saying we're not getting these bookings. My perspective on that and why they are right to be concerned, this is a different event than like a sports-related big event, like a Super Bowl, or we've hosted an All-Star game here in Milwaukee, or we talked about Ryder Cup being at Whistling Straits, or the U.S. Women's Open coming to Erin Hills for several days next spring, things like that, sports event-based things. Or when we host the NCAA tournament, first rounds at once the Bradley Center, now Fiserv Forum, things like that. You have folks who are there for a event, a moment, but then around that, a whole bunch of free time to just sort of wander around and do their thing. I think a lot of folks who are coming to town for the Republican National Convention have duties and jobs to do. The delegates have places to be.
Right. There are meetings. It's work.
Right. So, and that's not to say they don't have any free time. In fact, I think the woman from the Washington delegation said, yeah, they're free to do some other things. But what they're going to do, my prediction is do what's close, what's easy, and what's free and provided for them.
Right. And because once you're in that secure area, you're not going to leave and then go through all that again.
So there's that. In terms of media, and I'll just say this as a local reporter who covered Super Bowl 32, I covered Super Bowl 45, I covered three Final Fours, one in Dallas with the Badgers, one in Indianapolis with Wisconsin. Where's that other Final Four that I covered? I'm missing one in there. But nonetheless, we got up, and I'm not complaining here. I'm just telling you what the workday was like for working media. For Super Bowl 45, you remember Mike Lammy? He was my photographer over there for many years. Mike and I got up at 3 in the morning. We rented a house in Irving, Texas. And so we had the house rental. Okay, economic benefit, a boost. But we replaced the family who was living there. So they were gone. We were there. I don't know that you can say there was a tremendous amount of economic benefit other than what they realized in terms of what we rented. But, you know, so we did some shopping, had some groceries, but there wasn't that big boost. Mike and I got up at 3 in the morning. We went to the stadium. I mean, we stopped at the gas station for coffee, so not a big economic boost there. We went to the stadium. We did our stuff. We went to breakfast almost exclusively at Cracker Barrel for the week just because it was close and convenient. But a couple of clowns eating a Cracker Barrel, that's not going to put you over the edge here. And then we worked literally all day until 9-something at night, crashed, and repeated the next day. So when a lot of this 50,000 people coming to town are working reporters and people with the networks and journalists, not all of them are hoofing it like the locals, but they have stuff to do all day. So they'll have a spread provided for them at their little studios across from Fiserv. They'll have things. They'll go back to the hotel, and a lot of them are just going to crash. And maybe there's something at the hotel for them. Maybe they're eating at the hotel restaurant because it's easy and convenient. For the delegates, there are a lot of junkets, these private parties that you talked about the businesses hosting. Sure, they'll go to that because that's provided for them. Are they going to, like you said, wander outside that security zone and go visit the art museum? Or are they going to go have lunch up on the North Shore or do these other things? Don't know if they will. And it's just purely a matter of function. They're busy and they got stuff to do. It's a different kind of event than coming into town 3 days before a big game and just wandering around and doing your thing. So if it doesn't materialize for some of these businesses, I think that would be the reason why. Still a little bit of time, still some bookings perhaps that can happen, but we're coming up on it.
And people could be spontaneous. You never know.
And that's the hope, right? If you do get an off day from some of these journalists or some of the delegates decide, well, like, we don't have any place to be, or we're going to go ahead and blow off that morning session of state lawmakers and other non-critical folks who are giving a speech at 11 a.m. at Fiserv. Instead, let's go do something. That would be the hope. I'm hardly suggesting this is a bust or it shouldn't happen or whatever. Just talking about the reality on the ground here. For some businesses, it's going to be a great thing. And for others, they're starting to realize it might be a tough week. 8:22 on Wisconsin's Morning News. A26 Wisconsin's Morning News. Michelle Richards is in for Eric today. I think people are pitching tents at Veterans Park, not knowing that there
I
are
hope
no
not. No, don't do it. There are no fireworks.
I promise you, there are going to be some tents out there. And somebody's going to have to, you know, knock on the door there. there's no show.
I'm sad.
You made an interesting point. Michelle and I were just talking on the break. Like, you're a little bit surprised how this played out.
Well, normally, If somebody says, hey, we're not going to have fireworks, this big, huge firework display because we need X amount of money, somebody swoops in and saves the day, right?
That is the Milwaukee template. It happened for years with the Milwaukee Holiday Parade downtown where, like, we're not going to have the holiday parade. We don't have enough. And then we've got some last minute sponsors and we're going to have the holiday parade until we didn't anymore.
Yeah.
And I think we had that with the fireworks. Well, we can't have the fireworks this year. And then we found some sponsors. We're going to have the fireworks. No, there are no July 3rd fireworks.
Maybe next year.
At Veterans Park. See, that could be done forever. Want to get you an update here on this story from American Family Field over the weekend. 11 people hurt. 6 of them ended up in the hospital when an escalator at the ballpark malfunctioned following the Brewers-Cubs game Saturday night.
Scary situation, one of my biggest fears.
Really?
Yeah, honestly. Like, as a kid, I was always afraid my shoelaces were going to get stuck in the escalator.
You know, it turned out a lot worse than that. Fans talking about it Sunday with TMJ4 News as that escalator remained shut down for that game. It's one of those really tall escalators. This is one, so if you know the ballpark, they call that top level the terrace level. So that'd be like level 4.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one you skip the club level, which is level 3, and it takes you right down to the loge level, level 2. So it's really tall and steep.
And narrow.
And narrow, indeed. And just before it malfunctioned, this guy describes what he saw.
Did some sort of free fall type thing where it sped up completely. You would have thought they were going down a slide. Piles and piles of people on top of each other.
Sounds like it just sped up and started going way too fast. And somebody texted in. Obviously, it sounds like a person with expertise in the field, but he had a couple of theories on what may have gone wrong with that escalator, but it sounds like it just sped up. It's going too fast. People start tumbling down and created this human pile at the bottom. Nicholas Moriano talking with TMJ4 News said he was on the escalator when it happened.
I almost contemplated like jumping off the escalator. I literally got up on the railing. There was an older lady and she was just kind of screaming and yelling. And that, I think that just makes it all worse. Like just hearing that and, you know, when you're also looking back, there's blood on the escalator.
And unfortunately, none of the injuries life-threatening, but some were serious enough to send people to the hospital. The team has said since that it is working to reconnect with the people who were injured. Statement published by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel quotes that Brewers is saying the escalators are regularly inspected and have been once again since that incident. I believe that escalator was shut down for Sunday's game. JS also reporting upgrading the ballpark's 10 escalators is among the long-term improvement projects slated for the stadium in the $500 million restoration and improvement plan over the next 20 years. 8:30 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Siding Unlimited, WTMJ News Time, 8:38 on this Monday morning.
It's a staple of summertime, Vince. Young kids hanging out on the front lawn, selling you some possibly overpriced lemonade.
Right.
Which you
sometimes
have said
you have
won't
a Kool-Aid
stop
variety.
For.
No, I think it's a rule. You got to stop because every kid has had a lemonade stand and every kid starts that with a dream of, we're going to make so much money. I'm going to buy all this stuff. And then like nobody comes. And right, yeah, exactly. And then nobody comes and you hope every car will stop. So I try to make it a rule. But on occasion, I've been priced out of the market. You come by, and like $1.50. Like, get lost, kid. Really? Well, might not have $1.50.
Well, there's one very young entrepreneur in Oklahoma who is turning this tradition into cash by actually joining the Chamber of Commerce.
6-year-old Sue Ann LeMay saved her money from her lemonade stand she's operated for 4 years. Her mom urged her to pay the $10 dues to the Tunkhawa, Oklahoma Chamber of Commerce Exec Director Christy Crumrine.
With her own money?
One, two, three.
Ooh.
A ribbon cutting for her new lemonade, hot dogs, and pizza business. What does LeMay really, really, really like doing?
I really, really, really like selling stuff.
Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
So this is adorable and also, like, wow, she's been selling lemonade for 4 years. She's six. That means she was two when
I
she
guess.
Had.
I guess. Mom and Dad might have helped with that one.
I would think so, but...
Isn't that the worst, too, when they come in the house? They're like, do we have any lemonade? Where's the thing? I'm like, are you running this stand or am I?
Got to make the change.
Right, yeah.
Got to have mom and dad around for the Venmo in case you don't have any cash.
You've had that happen, hey?
I have, yes.
You've accepted the Venmo on behalf of the children?
Uh-huh, yep, last summer.
Hey, it's a digital world. 840 on Wisconsin's Morning News. I have to... Greg Pancake Hill produces the program, and I have to, in the interest of full disclosure, discuss that I may simply be going against Greg's wishes and better advice.
At least it's on tape now.
Is that accurate? I'm on record as stating it out loud.
Yeah, there it is. It's out in the open. Thank you for exonerating me.
Why do you hate America and don't want me to read the Declaration of Independence?
Okay, I wouldn't call it that. Then let's see. You're up, buddy. Let's go.
Okay, coming up next, because it's my favorite of the founding documents, because I want to, because I'm off the rest of the week, I'm going to read bits and pieces of the Declaration of Independence on this year program, and you're going to like it, and that's next.
Let freedom ring. Let the white dove sing. Let the
In Congress, July 4, 1776. The unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separation and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. It's a fairly good start.
I'm sorry, what? I was dozed off.
Okay, no. I even asked Greg when we were coming in. Who? I said, are you done advising me entirely on this? Now that I've decided to do it? I won't read the whole thing, but I've stated before this is my favorite of the founding documents, and I do think that Independence Day, like so many of our holidays, we rightly focus on family and the parades and the fireworks and the cookouts and all of those things. But I started a tradition amongst myself years ago where I took time either on the day or shortly before it to reread the Declaration. And it's an extraordinary document. And one of my favorite things that we do in Greendale now is at 8:45 a.m. on July 4th, Independence Day, we invite the community. Anybody can come and read a paragraph or however many it turns out to be. And the Declaration is publicly read before the people. And so I wanted to share some of my favorite parts. And so we are doing that right now. What I love about this front end here, and it's fun to break it down in current terms. You know, the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impelled them to the separation. You have the founders saying, look, the world is watching. Or if you listened earlier, all eyes are on the colonies. We're about to do some crazy stuff here. We're going to try to break away from the British Empire, and the whole rest of the planet is going to be watching and trying to find out what this is about. And we actually think they have a right to wonder about that and ask, what are these guys doing over there? And so this is our explanation of exactly what we're doing. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Obviously, probably the most quoted and remembered line from the entire Declaration of Independence. One thing I point out there, the pursuit of happiness. We always forget the word pursuit. More and more today we expect that, well, they said government was there to guarantee our happiness. No, government is there to guarantee that you have a shot at it. And beyond that, I think we've gone a little bit too far sometimes saying, no, I deserve this, I deserve that. No, you deserve the right to give it a shot, and we ought not stand in your way. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. In other words, when you find yourself in a situation where it's not good, it's not only your right, but it is your duty to abolish that form of governance and start over with something that better fits you and your people. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. I love this passage because it says, look, we get it. And we also think just because you're angry about this, that, or the other thing, doesn't mean you ought to overthrow your government. Like, this should be taken pretty seriously. And in the course of humankind, what we have seen is that people pretty much will take it. They might be miserable. They might be predisposed to be upset about things, but they'll sit there and take it. They will suffer a lot of stuff. But when it becomes to the point that you can no longer suffer through it, that's the point that we're at. And it leads into the next thing. When a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. And then the founders go on to list 27 separate grievances or so-called usurpations, the complaints, but also the evidence, the justification for what's happening here, the things that King Henry has put these colonists through. Would you like a few of my favorites, Michelle?
I would.
The answer to that is yes. Greg, how are we doing?
I think much like the founding fathers who also didn't listen to the British government, you're not going to listen to me.
This is a full-on revolution. Okay. Again, 27 separate grievances, a few of my favorites here. He has, that is King Henry, he has called together legislative bodies at places unusual, uncomfortable, and distant from the depository of their public records for the sole purpose of fatiguing them into compliance with his measures. In other words, King's over there saying, oh, we invited you to come and talk about this. We had meetings. Well, like, yeah, meetings hundreds of miles away from where these folks are, days of travel.
No planes,
exactly. So he deliberately has set up these public comment periods and whatnot. That's like saying, hey, we'll listen to you about MPS. The meeting's at 2 o'clock in the morning in Stoughton.
No Zoom.
Right, yeah. He has made judges dependent on his will alone for the tenure of their offices and the amount and payment of their salaries. So he's cooked the judicial system is what they're saying. We have this form of trial and whatnot, and he's tipped the scales in his direction. He has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and to eat out their substance. It's not a very nice guy, this king. The eating out of the substance, that's not something you want to endure. He has kept among us in times of peace standing armies without consent of our legislatures. He has affected to render the military independent of and superior to the civil power for imposing taxes on us without our consent. Yes, taxation without representation, that important line. He has plundered our seas, ravaged our coasts, burnt our towns, and destroyed the lives of our people. In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. Founders going on to suggest, we've tried to deal with this. And we've tried to get some love from the king. We've tried to get love even from our fellow countrymen. We have appealed to their native justice and magnanimity, and we have conjured them by the ties of our common kindred to disavow these usurpations, which would inevitably interrupt our connections and correspondence. They, too, have been deaf to the voice of justice and consanguinity. We must therefore acquiesce in the necessity which denounces our separation and hold them, as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies in war, in peace friends. The money line here, the separation. We are, I should read it. I don't care. We got time. Greg, should I just go over to?
Let's go. Let's
might as well, right?
Yep.
We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do, in the name and by authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved. And that is free and independent states. They have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do. There's your money line. That's the actual separation. And I'll fast forward to the end. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. That last line is like, well, we're either gonna win or we're gonna get hanged. So everybody all in here? Yes or no? Continental Congress adopted this document July 4, 1776. It was read publicly for the first time 4 days later in Philadelphia. And if you'd like to join us, we'll be read again at 8:45 a.m. on the steps of Village Hall in Greendale, Wisconsin. 8:53 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee. From the Annex Wealth Management Studios, this is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma Brand station.
On the WTMJ Talk and Text line, Great Britain suffered the worst defeat in history, giving up a 13-colony lead. Poor team management. Appreciate that. Also, a couple. Did I do this? Did I say King Henry?
You did.
You know why I have Henry VIII on the brain? Because my girls just went and saw Six.
Okay.
And that's him, right? It was the six wives of Henry VIII. It was George III.
Yeah.
I ruined the whole thing. Greg, you should have caught that. That's bad producing.
Yeah, you got it. Right?
Man, poor Greg today. Right?
Poor Greg, he's taking some.
You're doing great.
I thank those of you who sat through that, and I do hope you enjoyed it, as that's what Independence Day is for. I want to get you the forecast through the Independence Day holiday. Mostly sunny today with high clouds and a high of 71 degrees. Increasing clouds tonight, low down to 62. Tuesday looks like stormy weather is approaching. Rounds of rain and storms on Tuesday with a high of 78. Wednesday we'll have some rain sticking around early, then decreasing clouds, warm and humid, high of 87. And for Independence Day, partly cloudy with an isolated shower or storm possible and a high of 82. 62 degrees in Milwaukee on this Monday morning. News is sponsored by Annex Wealth Management's Money Talk. That's heard Saturdays at 10 right here on WTMJ. Political Power Hour with Steve Scafidi. Up next.
Market volatility, global issues. We hear about inflation easing, but it's still a real issue. More than a few headwinds this year. That's probably why Americans like you feel uncertain about their financial future. Just 59% of affluent Americans felt secure last year, and that's down from the year before. Boomers, not much room for error. Gen X might need more than a 401k. And for millennial families with big dreams, it's time to get real about saving and investing. Talk to Annex Wealth Management. Build security with a partner on your side for unbiased advice. Our goal is a plan that prepares you to maintain your desired lifestyle throughout retirement. Investments are a start, but you may need more. That's why Annex delivers tax and estate planning. There's an Annex plan personalized for you. Annex Comprehensive Wealth fits most individuals and families, but if you've got high net worth with complex needs, Annex Private Client is your solution. Just starting out, Annex Ignite is a great choice. Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management. Click the Get Started button at AnnexWealth.com.
When the New Testament pictures a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, it's more than just having a personal relationship with God. It's more than having a biblical worldview. It's more than holding to certain moral values. In the New Testament's way of seeing things, to be a Christian is to have a pastor, or many pastors, pulling for you.
Dr. Michael Ziegler this week on The Lutheran Hour.
The Lutheran Hour, Sunday mornings at 6:30 on WTMJ.
It's WTMJ's